Adventures in Research. Overhead, a bird makes lazy circles in the sky, gliding in graceful arcs high above the buildings and the fields. Below, a boy lies gazing upward and wondering how the world would look from up there, wishing he too were free as a bird. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you a story about one of man's oldest dreams, to be free as a bird, and of two men who dreamed it. One of them was Jean-Marie Labrie, a French sea captain who lived 100 years ago.
Hey, Marty. Where's Captain Labrie?
Well, where else? He's upon the after deck. And you'd best leave him alone. He's in no mood for trouble.
He's in no mood for nothing. Should have known better than to sign on with a French captain. Mad as an air he is. When we gets into port, I'm in with a pull out in whiskers and his little black beard one by one.
Here. Now watch your talk. No matter what you think of Captain Bray, mutiny ain't
Who
no...
Who says anything about mutiny? I didn't do nothing. Don't shoot.
No, he ain't shooting at you.
What is he shooting at then?
Birds. The captain likes to shoot them.
So, you play the game. We'll not outwit Jean-Marie Labrie. The next bullet will go through your heart, you winged baboon.
Sorry me from ever signing on again with a French captain. Crazy as a barge.
Oh, we missed him again. Oh, I hope he gets that bird. He won't be fit to sail with.
What kind of a bird is it anyhow? I seen it fall in the boat for days now.
That one he's shooting at? Looks to me like a albatross.
Albatross? Aye. If you kill one of them, it's bad luck.
Now, look here. Don't butt in where
you're Captain, not... don't shoot. Captain, don't shoot.
So now, Mr. Bells, this time you're doomed. You outsmart me before, but
don't
now...
shoot!
Idiot! Don't... Spoil my aim. Let go of the gun, are you mad?
What is bad luck, Captain, to shoot an albatross?
Let go! Or I'll have you in irons for this.
No, give me the gun, Captain, before you shoot.
Voila! Now see what we have done. Shot him!
No mercy, mercy. It's bad luck, Captain, to shoot an albatross.
Look at the size of him. His wings. How wide they stretch. Ah, look. Look, it pulls me. The wing. It draws into the wind. Eyes. A dead bird, no, but the wing, it pulls into the wind.
But, Captain, it's bad luck.
Bad luck? Stupid. Look, I hold back the wing, but it wants to go forward into the wind. I have discovered the secret of the bird. I have comprehended the mystery of flight. You know what this means?
Bad luck, Captain. Bad luck.
Captain Labrie thought that he had discovered something that would teach him the secret of the flight of birds. In 1854, he built an albatross of his own, of wood and cloth, with a boat-like body. It had a wingspan of 23 feet, and eagerly he took it out to test.
Écoutez, I am going to fly this bird.
But why do you want my mule and wagon, Captain?
I must get the bird and myself into the air, no? So we shall attach the bird to the cart. We shall start the mule down the road in the face of the winds, and poof, the bird will rise in the air.
50 pounds, you say?
My word upon it. And the word of Captain Labrie is good, no?
No, I don't doubt it none, Captain. But if you plan on flying up in the air, well, if it's all the same to you... Could I have the 50 pounds now, before you start?
I told you, 50 pounds. Now, let us begin. I shall wave the handkerchief, like so, when I am ready. Then, you start the cart, and as fast as you can, so I can fly the bird.
But the wind is coming straight at us. Seems to me
Please,
that...
I know what I am about. I am about to solve the mystery of the birds.
Captain, that's another thing. Just suppose, say, that this bird of yours does go sailing up in the sky. If you've got it attached to my car...
As soon as I am in the air, I shall untie the rope and be free. free.
Till you come down and pay me my £50, let's not forget that.
No more talk. The wind rises. Ah, remember, when I give the signal.
I got you, Captain. Come on, Nelly. We got work to do. Come on, Nelly. Come on.
Monsieur, I am waving the handkerchief.
Let's go, Nelly.
Faster! Faster! Oh,
come on, Nelly. Come on, then.
It is going up. I am rising.
Gorman, it's taking off, right off like a bird.
Don't forget the rope, Captain. Captain, untie the rope.
Wait, the rope, but... this knot! I cannot untie it!
I'll untie this end down here, if I can grab it. Whoa, Nelly! There, got it. Hey! Let me down! Hey! Help!
Sucker, plan, let go now!
I can't! Let me down!
You are pulling me down! Let go, monsieur!
Help! Help!
We are pulling! We are going to crash!
And that was the end of Captain LeBrie's experiments, for the flight in his albatross resulted in a broken leg. But he had advanced human knowledge one more step toward the sky. Not many years later, two boys in Germany considered the same problem that LeBrie's albatross had presented. The brothers were Otto and Gustav Lilienthal, who watched a stork on a peaceful meadow near their home.
Isn't it odd, Gustav? No matter how frightened he gets of us, he runs toward us when he starts to fly. You would think he would run away from us.
Yeah, he is a funny bird.
It must be that it is easier for him to get up in the air when he runs toward us. Something makes him run toward us. Ah, the wind. Of course. He only does it when the wind is at our backs.
So Otto Lilienthal learned, too, from the birds. From the middle 1800s until the turn of the century, Otto Lilienthal studied birds, trying to pry from them the secret of flight. And he wrote in his diary these words.
With each advent of spring, when the air is alive with innumerable happy creatures, when the storks, on their arrival at their old resorts, fold up their imposing flying apparatus, which has carried them thousands of miles, and announce their arrival by joyously rattling their beaks. When the swallows have made their entry and hurry through our streets and past our windows in sailing flight, when the lark appears as a dot in the ether, and manifests its joy of existence by its song, then a certain desire takes possession of man. Ah, he longs to fly upward and to glide, free as a bird, over smiling fields, leafy woods, and mirrored lakes, and enjoy the landscape as fully as only a bird can do.
That was the dream of Otto Lilienthal, who was to become the father of the glider. Otto and his brother constructed gliders with wings measuring as much as 9 by 3 feet. Then they began building an ornithopter, a glider with huge flapping wings that could sustain a man in flight. Lilienthal's goal, as he himself put it,
not to rest until we have attained to a perfect conception of the problem of flight.
This was 1880. Already, man had roamed in many directions for the answer to flight, but still hadn't solved the riddle. So Otto Lilienthal started from scratch. He applied himself to calculating the principles of aerodynamics. He studied birds in flight. He recognized the lifting qualities of a curved wing with thickened leading edge.
We find that nature utilizes the advantage of curved wings even in the vegetable kingdom. It provides the seeds of certain plants with slightly curved wings so they might sail along in the wind.
By 1891, Lilienthal had finished his original research and had decided to compare the actual lifting power of larger curved surfaces with the values he had derived from his work with models.
Did it work all right, Otto?
Yes. A bit shaken up, perhaps. The ground is hard when you hit it. But no matter, I'm fine. What about the distance?
Over 1,000 feet, Otto. Think of it. Over 1,000 feet.
The rigid wing makes the difference, Gustav. And I'm learning the knack of steering it better. Help me out of this harness, eh?
Yes. It was beautiful, Otto.
It is almost like second nature to me now. Moving my weight from side to side or back or forward. Now I am getting so I do not have to think it. I feel it instinctively, like keeping your balance on a bicycle.
I have jotted down the distance and the time.
Good. Our records must be complete. Now, Gustav, we must begin thinking of putting a motor onto the glider. Then perhaps we shall be able to...
In 1896, Lilienthal was flying his glider with its fixed wings and a new rudder. Suddenly, he lost control.
Otto! Otto! Otto!
Lilienthal died as a result of his injuries. And his grief-stricken brother bundled up the well-kept notes of this pioneer in aviation.
Otto recognized that his machines were the means and not the end. He felt there was too much theorizing. He wanted to resolve the questions by actual flight. The air itself had the answers, he used to say. Now he is gone. There is no one to ask the questions. Just a name forgotten by history. Of what good are his notes, his memoranda, his theories?
But perhaps there was someone else to ask the questions. In the United States, two men pondered the loss of Otto Lilienthal.
It is a great loss.
The man, yes. But the idea lives on. He started something. And who knows, Orville, perhaps we can finish it.
Yes, perhaps this was Otto Lilienthal's greatest contribution to flight. The enthusiasm that he gave to the Wright brothers. But for his testing of theories, for reducing the art of gliding to actual practice, for his desire to be free as a bird, the world owes a great debt to the father of gliding, Otto Lilienthal, and his ill-fated adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.